Open your Bibles, if you would, to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, portion that Matt read, will contain our text for today. And we'll read verses 11 to 21, which is all about reconciliation with God in and through the Lord Jesus Christ. And it brings forth that God's people are new creatures in Christ. Now, this time of year, we often gather together with family members. And nowhere is the grace of God, the electing grace of God, more on display than when you're with your family members. It's evident, and it's very humbling. As you gather together with your brothers and sisters, nephews and nieces, brothers-in-laws and sisters-in-laws, great-grandkids, grandkids, you gather together with them. Nowhere is the grace, the electing grace of God, more on display. As you look at your family members, and some of us were the only ones who the Lord saved in that family. Some of us, there's more. But there's always some who the Lord's passed by and who aren't saved. And they still see us on the outside, don't they? They still see us and think, well, there's no change. But little do they know that there's been a great inward change. Great inward change. They still see us as ourselves. They see us as the people they grew up with, or the way we've always been. Because again, our outward appearances don't change when the Lord saves us. Our outward appearances don't change when the Lord saves us. Now we may be more joyful, right? And that's inside, isn't it? It bubbles up inside us. My. But we're new creatures in Christ. The believer in Christ is a new creature in Christ. And we quickly learn the truth of how we are new creatures in Christ. When we're with our natural family, although we love them to pieces, don't we? But it's not the same as being with our spiritual family. It's not the same. It's not the same. When we were dead in trespasses and sins, and when we did not know that we were God's people, we had no idea, did we? When we were dead in trespasses and sins, we had no idea that we were God's people. And neither did our family members. We desired the things of the flesh, right? We did, every one of us. We desired the things of the flesh. And sin meant nothing to us unless we got caught. Or unless we were remorseful for something we'd done. But that soon passed. That soon passed. The scripture proclaims that in our natural state, we drank sin like we drink water. Down the hatch it goes. And that's how we were. That was our natural state. And people who knew us before the Lord saved us, that's what they see when they see us. They think, oh, they're just the same person. Because there's been no outward change, has there, at all? No outward change. But something changed. Something changed. I ask you, did something change? Something changed. And it was nothing we did. It was nothing we did, beloved. It was all by the power of the Holy Spirit of God. We're born again by the power of the Holy Spirit of God. And all things became new, didn't they? I love that song, I Was a Wandering Sheep. Every time I sing that, that's me. Is it you? That's me. I was a wandering sheep. I didn't have any care for God or the things of God. And He sought me out. Now I love Him. Did I rot that change? Not at all. No. Did you rot that change in you? No. God the Holy Spirit did that. And think of this, that was by the power and by the will of God that came to pass. By the power and the will of God. So now all things are new. We don't desire the things of the world like we used to. We don't. We don't desire the things of the flesh like we used to. It's lost its appeal, hasn't it? We're new creatures in Christ. Now, I ask you this. Is there not a civil war within you now? Is there not a battle within you that wasn't there before? As the flesh battles with your new nature? You're born again of the Holy Spirit of God? We've been reconciled to God, beloved. We who are born again, we've been reconciled to God. We have peace with God. And where do we have peace with God? In Christ and nowhere else. In Christ and nowhere else. Outside of Christ, no peace with God. In Christ, peace with God. It's wonderful. With that in mind, let's now read verses 11 to 21 here. Knowing, therefore, the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are made manifest unto God, and I trust also are made manifest in your conscience. 2 Corinthians 5:11. For we command not ourselves again unto you, but give you occasion to glory on our behalf, that ye may have somewhat to answer them which glory in appearance and not in heart. See, we glory in God in heart, don't we? Not in appearance, in heart. There's been an inward change. We don't have to put airs on as believers. We got nothing to boast in but Christ. He's the one we boast in. For whether we be beside ourselves, it is to God, or whether we be sober, it is for your cause. For the love of Christ constraineth us. Look at that. The love of Christ constrains us from sin, beloved. Now we hate sin. Because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And that he died for all, that which shall live, not henceforth unto themselves. We don't live unto ourselves anymore. Now we live unto Christ for His glory. For His glory. Everything we do is for the glory of God, isn't it? We do it for His glory. But unto Him which died for them and rose again. Wherefore, henceforth know we no man after the flesh, yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we Him no more. Therefore, here's our text for today, this one verse. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, if any man or woman be in Christ, that's mankind, if any man or woman be in Christ, look at that, that's beautiful. He's a new creature. Old things are passed away, behold, all things are become new. Those two words, in Christ, are so sweet to the believer. There's no sweeter words than in Christ. In Christ. In Christ. And all things are of God who hath reconciled us, look at this, to Himself. God's reconciled us to Himself. We were far off. We were dead in trespasses and sins. We had no hope. And look what God's done. He's reconciled us to Himself by Jesus Christ. That's why it's so important to be in Christ. And hath given unto us the ministry of reconciliation. The gospel proclaimed is a ministry of reconciliation. Be ye reconciled to God. And the only way we can be reconciled to God, because we fell in Adam, is in and through the Lord Jesus Christ, the second Adam. To wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you. We pray you in Christ's stead, be reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Now one may ask, is conversion necessary? What does it mean to be born again? Is it necessary? Turn, if you would, to John chapter 3. John chapter 3. Is it necessary? Is conversion necessary? John chapter 3. Now we'll let the Master speak. John chapter 3. The words of the Master, the Word of God incarnate, the Lord Jesus Christ, who came to this earth to save his people from their sins. John chapter 3, verses 1 to 8. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, speaking to Christ, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest, except God be with him. Jesus answered him and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Or born from above. Born from above. We know that that's by the power of the Holy Spirit of God. So Christ made it really clear right here that Holy Spirit conversion is necessary. Is necessary. It's very clear. You must be born again. You must be. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Now, this is an honest answer from a natural man. Am I going to go in my mother's womb again a second time? It's an honest answer from a natural man. From natural man's perspective. He does not understand what Christ is saying to him. Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except the man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. So when we're born into this world, we're born dead in trespasses and sin. We're born of the flesh. And that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto you, ye must be born again. Must. Notice that little hinge word. Must. You must be born again. Look at this. The wind bloweth where it listeth. The wind blows where it goes, wants, doesn't it? We feel it, but it goes wherever it wants. It goes wherever it wants. And thou hearest the sound thereof, but cannot tell whence it cometh, and whither it goeth, so is every one that is born of the Spirit of God. No outward change, but oh, what a change inward. What a change inward. Let's go back to our text there in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. So with that in mind, with what the words of the Master there, bringing the absolute necessity of conversion, the absolute necessity that you must be born again. You must be. With that in mind, let's read 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all through the Scriptures, beloved, men are divided into two classes with a very sharp line of distinction. Sheep lost, and sheep found, guests refusing, and guests feasting, virgins, wise virgins, and foolish virgins, sheep and goats, men dead in trespasses and sin, and men alive to God in Christ. Men in darkness and men in light, children of God and children of wrath, believers who are not condemned, and those who are condemned already being outside of Christ. The distinguishing grace of God is all through the Scriptures. And again, when we gather with our family members and friends, the distinguishing grace of God is extremely evident. And we do not look down on them, do we? No, because we were right there. And we still would be, but for the grace of God in Christ. The only one who has made us to differ is Christ. That's the only one. And we know that, don't we? We've been taught that. That it's only the grace and mercy of God. It's only because of the grace and mercy of God that we are saved. And therefore, we praise His name, don't we? We praise His name. My, oh my. Remember our text in Galatians a couple of weeks ago when it says, but when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because ye are sons, that key there, because ye are sons, because ye are sons, God has set forth His Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. God's done that. If you're a born-again believer sitting in the pews right now and me standing here today, the only reason that we are born-again believers is because we've been sons of God from eternity, and we had no clue at all, did we? And then when we find out that, it brings us low, doesn't it? But oh, do we want to praise our great God for having mercy on us? Absolutely. And then we keep praying for those around us, don't we? Don't ever stop praying for your family members and your friends till they breathe their last breath. Just keep praying. Just keep lifting. We have no idea who God's people are. He knows, but we have no clue. That's why we preach the gospel all. And you let God do the saving. I love what Spurgeon said. God could save you in your seat without you moving a muscle. Because it's a heart work, isn't it? And we know that as believers. Because outwardly, we haven't changed. Well, we grow older, right? But we're still the same person that everyone knew outside. But oh, inside, it's so different. We're new creatures in Christ. My. And when one is born again of the Holy Spirit of God, the Word of God speaks of an inward change. An inward change. Turn, if you would, to John chapter 1. John chapter 1. An inward change. An inward change occurs. It's spoken of as a birth. It's spoken of as a birth. And it comes, beloved, it comes to pass by the power of God. And by the power of God alone. That's why we seek to give Him all the glory. And we seek to give Him all the praise. Because He's the only one worthy of it all, beloved. He's the only one worthy of it. Look at this in John chapter 1, verses 12 and 13. But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God. Look at that. Even to them that believe on His name, which were born not of blood, so it's not by a lineage. Someone born Jewish doesn't mean they're going to be saved, right? Just as someone being born as American doesn't mean they're going to be saved. No, it's not of lineage. It's not of blood. Nor the will of the flesh. We can't will ourselves to be saved. Even though false preachers tell people that all the time, and we will never know the damage that's done this side of eternity, beloved. We'll never know. mine, nor the will of flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. Man's will is bound to your nature. If you have a dead nature, all you seek is sin. And I don't say that condescendingly, because I was there. And I still, every single day, is it so for you who believe? Every single day struggle with the flesh. Oh my. But our hope's in Christ, isn't it? Our hope's in Him. He saved us. From how many of our sins? Just a couple? No, praise be to God. Praise His mighty name. He saved us from all our sins. All of them. All of them. Oh, it's wonderful. What? This is the wonderful news of reconciliation. It's a full pardon. There's nothing left behind. It's wonderful news to sinners. The question is, are you a sinner? Are you a sinner? Listen to 1 John 5:1. It says, whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. Well, I'll tell you, there was a time when I didn't believe He was the Christ of God. Is it so for you? I like to ask people, don't tell me about a profession years ago. What do you believe in right now? Tell me what you believe right now, right this second. Are you a needy sinner? Do you see yourself as a needy sinner? Are you trusting Christ? Because he that believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone that loveth Him, that begot, loveth Him that is also begotten of Him. So not only do we love God who begot us, but we love those who God begat, those who are born again by the Holy Spirit of God. That's what that scripture is saying in 1 John 5:1. And the new birth is often spoke of in the scriptures as a quickening. Turn, if you would, to Ephesians chapter 1. It's often spoken of as a quickening. Ephesians chapter 1. And again, this is a constant theme. This is a constant nail that we preachers hit. It is all by the will and power of God. Because we saw in John that it's not by the will of the flesh, and it's not by the will of man. So we can conclude logically that it's by the will of God. Right? That's what the Scripture declares. And we as believers, there's a time when we didn't believe the Scriptures. Now we say, yeah, it's by the will of God. That's what it says. Yeah. We don't argue with the Word of God, do we? We just bow down to it. We just bow down to what it says. Look at this, Ephesians chapter 1, verses 17 and 18. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the Spirit of wisdom. So God gives us the Spirit. He sends the Spirit. Christ said, I'll send a comforter to you, didn't He? That's the Holy Spirit of God. See, they're all in unity. Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, they're all in unity. The three are one. May give you the Spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of Him. Look at that. Do we know Christ before we're born again? We may have read the Bible, but in our mind we may have thought who God was, but we didn't really. Did we love Him? No. No. We may have had a head knowledge, but there was no change in the heart. And then, Brother Tim and I often speak about this, where the Lord reveals Himself to you. If the Lord doesn't reveal Himself to you, you'll never know Him. I didn't know Him before the Lord revealed Himself to me. I had no clue. I had a God cooked up in my imagination that was so far from the Bible, it wasn't funny. Oh, but when He reveals Himself to you, oh my, oh my. Look what happens. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened. That's what happens when He reveals Himself to us. That you may know the hope of His calling. Oh, the hope of His calling. Who's our hope in? Christ. Christ, the hope of His calling. He's Him who calls us. And what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints. in what is exceeding greatness of his power to usward, who believe according to the working of his mighty power. It's all by God's power. We're quickened. We're born again by the Holy Spirit of God. Look one chapter over there in Ephesians 2. We know that we're born dead in trespasses and sins. That's what the Scripture says very clearly. Look at verse 1. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. But look at verse 10. This is marvelous. I love this. For we are his workmanship. You know, if you're a believer, you're his workmanship. Huh. Created in who? Oh, there's those two little, that in Christ. In Christ. Oh, so very important, beloved. Created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Marvelous. It's all God's work. It's all God's work. He's done it all. And then we understand what's the exceeding greatness of his power to us word, don't we? Just like Ephesians 1:19 says, we understand that. Who believeth according to the working of his mighty power. And we believe on Christ, don't we? We trust him. We never used to. But oh, he's revealed. He's been revealed to us. Just like our study in the life of Joseph. Remember, Joseph's brother didn't have any clue who he was. And then he reveals himself to him. Oh, my. That's such a picture of how God reveals Christ to us, beloved. So clear. It's one of the clearest pictures in the Scriptures. And how are we in our natural state? Well, we're like Lazarus. Remember Lazarus? He's dead. He's been dead 3 days. Right? Lazarus, come forth. And he come flying out. He was walking. He came out of that command, didn't he? Yeah? And think of this. Think of this. Here's something to think about. When they unwrapped Lazarus, he was still Lazarus, right? But he was alive. He was alive. Yeah. He was dead a few seconds before that. Now he's alive. No outward change, eh? Still Lazarus. But now he's got breath. Now he's got life. When he never had it before. Because he was dead for 3 days in the tomb. Wonderful. What a clear picture. What a clear picture. Turn to Ephesians chapter 4. We had you there in Ephesians 2. Look a couple chapters over there. And this scripture brings forth that we're new creatures in Christ again. There's been a great inward change in us. And it's wrought by the Holy Spirit of God, beloved. It's nothing we can do. Ephesians 4, 24 and 25. And that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. The new man there. The new man. Inward man, born again. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor. For we are members one of another. We're members of the body of Christ, beloved. We're fitly framed in the temple of God, mortared together by the blood of Christ. That's what that's speaking of. Members one of the other. Turn, if you would, to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. I know I have us turning a lot, but this is important here. Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. New birth spoken of is a translation. Colossians chapter 1, verses 12 to 14. And again, Paul's writing to born again, blood washed believers. Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet. That word in the Greek, meet, there is qualified. We've been qualified to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. We were in the power of darkness, beloved. We didn't even know it. We were drinking sin like water. Had no clue. We've been translated, beloved. Translated. And has translated us in the kingdom of who? His dear Son, in Christ. In Christ. In whom we have redemption. There it is. There it is, through his blood. even the forgiveness of sins. Redemption. He redeemed our eternal souls, purchased us with His own precious blood. That means He gave His life for us. Because the life of the flesh is in the blood, the Scripture says. He shed His blood for us. It's a remission for our sins. The sinless, perfect, spotless Lamb of God did that for, if you're a believer, for you. For me. It's amazing. That was the whole reason He came to this world. To save us from our sins. My. Being born again is also spoken of as passing from death to life. In 1 John 3:14, the Scripture says, we know that we have passed from death, that means spiritual deadness, unto life. Spiritual life, being born again. Because we love the brethren. Wow. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Very clear words. See, because the love of God is now shed abroad in our hearts, so not only do we love God, but we also love the brethren, beloved. We love those who are born again by the Holy Spirit of God. Turn, if you would, to Ezekiel. Ezekiel. Chapter 36. So very clearly in Scripture we see that there's a change. There's a change that's wrought by God within the believer. Peter writes this in James. I'll read James first. I'll read James says this. Of His own will begot He us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of His creatures. God did this. And then in 1 Peter it says, being born again, not a corruptible seed, which is our parents, our mom and dad, our dad, corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Look at this in Ezekiel. These words in Ezekiel are marvelous. These scriptures are marvelous. Ezekiel chapter 36, verses 24 to 27. And remember, this is all done by God, and this is all done by God's power. And this is done by the will of God. And we had no clue when we were born into this earth, when we were growing up, to the time the Lord saved us, we had no clue that we were a child of God. But God knew, didn't He? God knew. And it's amazing how He draws you to where you're going to hear the gospel preached and proclaimed. It's amazing. I look back now, and think of this too. Everywhere that your parents, your grandparents, your great-grandparents, all that, they moved to all the places they moved to so that you would be at the exact place that God appointed for you to hear the gospel preached. Isn't that amazing? It's true. It's amazing. Oh, it's incredible. All that was orchestrated by God. And He's still working in our lives, isn't He? He didn't stop, does He? He didn't say, well, now you're saved, you're on your own. He didn't say that, did He? No. He says, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. And in the Greek, that's in a triple negative. Never, not ever, never. He's still with us. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Oh, He's wonderful Savior. Look at these words, though. Look at these words. This is spoken by Jehovah, the self-existent one. These are spoken by Elohim, the mighty one, the mighty one. Ezekiel 36, verse 24 to 27. For I will take you from among the heathen. Oh, praise God. He separates us. And gather you out of all countries. The body of Christ, I love this. The body of Christ is of every tribe, kindred, tongue, and nation in the world. We have peace with God in Christ. Look, isn't that amazing? He takes us out of the nations. Oh my. And gather you out of all countries, and will bring you into your own land. Then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and ye shall be clean. We are we are washed in the precious blood of Christ, beloved. We're made clean before God. And you shall be clean from all your filthiness, all our sinfulness, from all your idols will I cleanse you. A new heart also will I give you. And a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh. And I will give you an heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes. And ye shall keep my judgments and do them. You, take note of these words. Who's doing all the work? God says, I will. This is what I'm going to do. We're just receivers of mercy. We're just receivers of grace. Now, do we trust Christ? Yeah, we run to Him after we've been granted faith to believe on Him. But this is a work of God. And this is done not just by the power of God, but by the will of God. Oh, it's marvelous. Let's go back to our text here in 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Again, therefore, if any man, or we know that's mankind, any man or woman, be in Christ, he or she is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And note the text proclaims, note what the text proclaims about the Christian's position. What's our position? After we're born again, what's our position? In Christ. In Christ. I got this little outline from a commentator. I thought this was wonderful. I'm going to share it with you. There are three stages of the soul. The first state of the believer is without Christ. So we're born into this world, dead in trespasses and sins. It's a miserable and unhappy condition. And it's difficult. Now, it's difficult to be without money in this world. It's miserable to be without health. But to be without Christ, that's the greatest lack. That's the greatest lack of all. The second state for the believer is that which our text proclaims in Christ. In Christ, which is the state of grace. The state of grace. The third state of the believer's soul is to be with Christ. With Christ. It doesn't end right here, beloved. We're in Christ, but one day we're going to be with Christ. With Christ. That's a state of glory, the gentleman went on to say. But we're going to consider the second state of the believer's soul, which is in Christ. A state of grace. State of grace. In Christ. Now, all of us, all of humanity, we were in the first Adam, weren't we? We were in the first Adam. Adam was our federal head. And when Adam fell, all of humanity fell. Dead in trespasses and sins. And so then all who are in Christ are restored. Restored. Think upon this. Noah's ark was a type of Christ. All who were within that ark were safe, weren't they? Every one of them. Not a drop of God's wrath fell upon them. But all who were outside of that ark, the full wrath of God fell upon them. The full wrath of God fell upon them. And they perished. Christ is the ark of God, beloved. Provided by God against the day of judgment. And we who are in Him are absolutely safe from the wrath of God. He has saved us from our sins. He has not only saved us from our sins, He saved us from the wrath and judgment of God. Never forget that. Because that fell upon Him in our place. That which was deserving us fell upon the Savior. Is it any wonder we love Him so much? Is it any wonder why we sing praises to His name? When we consider what He's done for us? and marvel at this, for God's elect, Christ is the eternal city of refuge. He's the eternal city of refuge, beloved. He's our only one refuge, isn't he? He's the refuge for our souls. And we offended God, didn't we? We offended God, but we flee to our life for our lives, and we enter into the place where vengeance cannot find us. Because it's been satisfied in him. And we find refuge in Christ, don't we? In Christ. Peter describes us as being in Christ. We are living stones in the temple of God. Some of the old Roman walls and buildings, they say that it's hard to tell which is the stronger, the cement or the stone. For their cement held the stones together. And they become as they're like their one mass rock now. Well, we know what holds us together, isn't it? It's the blood of Christ. And we're weak, but he is strong. And we have been so fitted into the temple. Remember, we're living stones. Stones made ready. We've been so fitted into the place where we belong and mortared in by the blood of Christ that we're one with that whole wall. In Christ, and only because of Christ. Only because of Christ. He cements us together, which again is a picture of the eternal love of God. The eternal love of God. It binds the saints to Christ, doesn't it? The eternal love of God. Now take note of the believer's character also. They're a new creature in Christ. Look at this in the scripture. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Now this phrase here suggests a radical change. A man may undergo many changes, but they may be far from being a new creation. Ahab may humble himself, but he's Ahab still. Esau wept tears, but he was still Esau, dead in trespasses and sins. And there can be great moral changes within one's life, but it doesn't make one a new creation. It doesn't make one a new creature. A drunkard may become sober, a drug addict may become clean, yet they're still dead in trespasses and sins. The scripture says this, can the Ethiopian change his skin or the leopard's his spot? Then may ye also do good that are accustomed to do evil. What's being brought forth in that verse there in Jeremiah 13:23 is that no matter what a man tries to do, they cannot change their heart. If a leopard's spots could be removed, they'd still be a leopard, wouldn't they? Still a leopard. Sin in us is as the spots of the leopard. They're not by accident, they're by nature. They're by nature. No medicine can cure them, can cure us of our sin. No water can wash our sins off because they're not in the skin. They're in the flesh, the bones, the nature. In our innermost parts. That's how we're born. Dead in trespasses and sins. So then we can conclude that a man cannot change their natural state by anything we do. We're graveyard dead. We're graveyard dead. Spiritually, dead in our natural state, with no way to regenerate ourselves, not by a decision, not by walking an aisle, not by praying a prayer. Listen to this comment on a new creation by Spurgeon. He says this, a new creation is a root and branch change, not an alteration of the walls only, but of the foundation. Inward. Inward. Not a new figuring of the visible tapestry, which is our outward appearance, but a renewal of the fabric itself. We become new creatures in Christ. Outwardly, there's no change, but inwardly, oh my, we're new creatures in Christ, and it's all by the power and by the will of God. Now, for some, it comes quickly, doesn't it? For some, it's a gradual. But we're all born again by the Holy Spirit of God. All born again. We saw the necessity of that in the first scriptures that we looked at in John chapter 3. Ye must be born again. Turn, if you would, to Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1. Oh my. I got way ahead of myself then. Men and women who are saved by Christ were granted faith to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ by the regenerating power of God the Holy Spirit. And in Christ, the believer finds himself pardoned of all their sins. Everyone. There's not one that's not pardoned. Everyone. It's amazing. Truly amazing. And then they have the love of God shed abroad in their hearts. And they now love Christ. And they love His gospel. They love His word. They love His people. And they hate sin. And we hate sin more in ourselves than anywhere else. Oh my. Why? Well, because there's been a great change wrought by the will and power of God. And it's a divine work, beloved. It's a divine work. Regeneration is God's sole work. Salvation is God's sole work. Right? And if someone objects to the wonderful doctrine that regeneration is all of God, that man cannot do it, here's a good place to take him, right here. Right here. At first creation in Genesis, who helped God? Let's look at these words here. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Who helped God? Well, no one did they? No one did. No one helped God. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. God did it. God did it. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. That's a good picture of our natural state. Darkness. Right? Darkness. And what happened? God moved upon the face of the waters, and God said, "Let there be light," and what? There was light. What a picture of regeneration, beloved. So clear. Our great God needs no help in the second birth of His people. He doesn't need no help. None at all. You cannot help Him. No. Nope. The second birth, the new birth, to be born again, comes to pass according to the sovereign will of God and the grace of God. And then what happens? We flee to Christ, don't we? We believe. We believe. We believe because we've been given the gift of faith to believe upon Christ. And it is marvelous. And there is an inward change that no one can see. And now we love to read His word. We love to hear the gospel preached. It's truly, truly wondrous. Wondrous. Look at our text again. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. When we're born again by the Holy Spirit of God, think of this. When we're born again by the Holy Spirit of God, then enmity for God is changed to love for God. Enmity towards God is changed for love to God. And that's brought so forth in the Book of Colossians, where it says, "For it pleased the Father that in Him, being Christ, should all fullness dwell, and having made peace through the blood of His cross, by Him to reconcile all things unto Himself, by Him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven." And you, Paul's writing to born-again, blood-washed believers in you that were sometime alienated. That was us in our natural state, beloved, alienated from God. And enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled. He's done it. It's a work of God. In the body of this flesh, of his flesh through death, to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. Listen to those words again. Christ presents his people who are born again by the Holy Spirit of God, who are washed in the precious blood of Christ. He will present us holy. We're sinners, but he can present us holy. Holy. Colossians 1:22. Holy and unblameable. That's no fault. No fault. Unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. Oh, the power of God, beloved. Oh, the mercy of God. We are reconciled to our great God in Christ. We see this in Paul's conversion, don't we? We see this in Paul's conversion. One minute he's an enemy and an opponent of Christ. One second he's an enemy and an opponent of Christ. And the next second after conversion he's crying, "Who art thou, Lord? Who art thou, Lord?" Oh my. And here are some changes which occur when one is born again. We have a sense of sin, what it really is. What it really is. We have a sense of sin, what it really is. And we have a sense of who we've sinned against, God. God, we've sinned against God. And we own it as our own, don't we? We say, "It's mine. I've done this, Lord. I've offended you." For the first time, we see our true sinfulness. And true conversion always brings forth a humbling sense of the need of divine grace. "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." Isn't that what the publican cried out? Need. "God, be merciful to me. I need you, Lord. Please be merciful to me." And then this another change which occurs is faith in Christ, which we know is a gift of God. It's a gift of God. This faith that's given to us by our great God, it looks to Christ alone, who again is the object of the believer's faith. And it's our faith is only in Christ, in Christ alone. Because only in him do we have the forgiveness of all our sins. All of them. He came to save us from our sins. The sinless one. The holy one died in our place. In the place of chosen sinners. He redeemed us from our sins. He paid the ransom price for our eternal souls. That which God demanded is totally paid. And we just say, "Praise his mighty name." Praise his mighty name. And then there'd be a change in the believer's principles, objects, desires, and life. I like this quote by a born-again believer from the past, from the 1800s. And examine if this is not so for you. He said, "Either the world is altered or else I am. Either the world's altered or else I am." My, oh my. What a change. What a change. Oh, the wondrous work of our great God. Of our great God. And when he works in us and we become new creatures in Christ, what a wondrous work which he wrought. And all we can say is glory to his name. Heavenly Father, we thank you for allowing us again to gather together in your name. Allowing us to look in thy scriptures. Oh, how humbling it is. How humbling it is, Lord, knowing that we are only saved by thy grace and thy mercy. Lord, we lift up unsaved loved ones to you. Oh, Lord, we pray for them. We pray if it's your will that you'd move in their hearts and lives, that you draw them to Christ, Lord. Oh, show them their desperate need for thee, oh, Lord, like you've done for us. Oh, Lord, we pray if it be thy will. Family members and friends, people we
work with, Lord. Oh, we pray that you give us doors of utterance to speak to them if it's your will, to tell them again the wondrous things that you've done for us. We'll be quick to give you all the glory and all the honor and all the praise. Lord, we love you because you first loved us. In Jesus' name, amen.